This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
We are joined today by Alina Dmitrieva, Director of the Health and Development Foundation in Moscow, and Dr. Jonathan Klein, Associate Executive Director of the American Academy of Pediatrics. Thanks to both of you for joining us. So part of this morning's discussion at the CSIS conference focused on healthy lifestyle promotion. And Russia and the United States each struggle with issues relating to adoption of healthy lifestyles among their populations, although the specifics of those struggles are in many senses quite different. But how can collaboration on these issues provide benefit to the populations of both countries?
Thank you so much for this opportunity to speak on this really very, I would say, important and at the same time very tough issue. And I don't really exaggerate by saying that this is the tough issue. We know that the most difficult thing is to change behavior of the individual. And it is not one step that can bring us to the goal we set up for ourselves. And this is the whole process. And of course, this process is the thing that we need to think through. We need to see who is supportive of what we want to change and who will work really opposing what we set up, although the goals are maybe socially desirable. And the healthy lifestyle is, to some extent, is an interesting issue, but what we have identified, people usually don't think of really carrying out healthy lifestyle. There are so many things in life they are interested in, and they would like to try at the very early age to probe, to see, that it's very difficult to position the program just as healthy lifestyle. And what we have studied in Russia, that it is in the first place important to identify what concerns young people, what will be their priorities, so that we can understand how healthy lifestyle priorities may fit this. Healthy nutrition, absence of risky behavior, healthy sexual behavior. And this is something that we need to understand how will fit in their mindsets. So this is, in the first place, it's important to develop the message, and in the second place, to identify the channels, how to promote this message. We try to implement this program, and we have really reached, I would say, fantastic results, because we identified the issues that were really important for them. And we designed the program that for youth healthy lifestyles that is entitled Not Healthy Lifestyles. It is entitled Everything That Concerns You. And what was really common in our discussions with my American colleagues is to identify the channels of communication, appropriate channels. So we know that PSAs is great, but it's really very expensive to have large media coverage. And we thought that it's important to use another channels. And one of the approach that we added to the program that we have developed, let's say, in a traditional way, is identifying new channels. And this is cell or mobile phones that really might be a good channel of getting the messages to young kids. Of course, this should not be the only source of information for them. It should be packaged with other programs. But this is what we think is the future for. So it's not just the mean of communication. It's not just something that you play with. It's something that you get your useful information from. So I hope that we really can come to the discussion point of using of modern technologies and using of cell phones, promoting healthy lifestyles among young people. Because this is what is really accessible, this is what everybody has, and what really can change their whole approach to health promotion. So this is, I would say, food for thought for both professionals in our two countries to be very innovative in reaching young people and looking for the best channels of communication for them.
Thank you for the question. I think I would agree that we're all learning how to make sure we use the new technologies available, both through cell phone and through Web 2.0 technology, to make sure that the health education components of what we do are really linked strongly to both the clinical and the public policy components of it. From our perspective, in the U.S., we're learning a lot from the way that the Russians have engaged with the cell phone messaging, as we've been beginning to do that also. The American Academy of Pediatrics approach to the lifestyle problems and to helping people and helping children and families grow healthy really is addressing some of the major causes of morbidity and mortality that are common to both countries. So the obesity epidemic, tobacco, mental health, reproductive health, and HIV prevention. The basic issues that do require a behavioral response on the part of individuals in order to keep people healthy. And it starts even in infancy where, you know, the parents' behavior around smoking or around food or around breastfeeding influence the child's environment in ways that have lifelong consequences. When some of the things that we've learned over the years about how to give clinicians, how to give pediatricians and other healthcare providers the tools to take care of individuals in their practice, but also how to give them the tools to be community health advocates and to help change policies and to change the environment so that the environment helps people stay healthy and helps people be protected from some of these risks is part of, I think, what we hope to be able to share in this relationship with the U.S.-Russian civil society component of the projects, but also part of some of what is, I think, common about understanding the role of social marketing and commercial marketing to young people and to families, and being able to recognize that the way that we address what's needed in policy can really help make it easier for parents and children to keep and stay healthy.
Speaking of policies, both the U.S. and Russia have adopted policies and programs recently that focus on children and child health. How can a strong bilateral relationship move these programs forward in unique and productive ways?
One of the things that having a bilateral program does is it helps reinforce for pediatricians here and in Russia that these are truly important and critical health issues for children and youth. And, you know, the biology of addiction to tobacco is the same in the two populations. The recognition that tobacco is a pediatric illness and that we need to have clinicians asking about it and we need to have environments that are smoke-free is universal. And so learning from each other's experiences there and learning what's been done from the clinical and the policy perspective so that we can use the evidence from each other's experience to make our own work more effective is, I think, an important part of the bilateral work.
I'm totally with you. Really, the maternal and child health issues are critical for both of the countries, are the most important issues. And of course, we need to think in many ways how to improve this. And this might include really a very important piece of work of working with the professionals. So if we speak about, for instance, the issue of smoking, informing them about passive smoking that is very harmful for the kids. Of course, we speak about role models in risky behavior that might be provocative for kids later to follow. Of course, we speak in this respect about provision of good quality services. This is an important issue, and we're constantly working on raising the standards. And at the same time, we know that at this particular, especially for newborns, the role of medical professionals is so critical, so important that it shouldn't be underestimated. But at the same time, it is very important to work with the population. It is very important to inform moms and those who are going to become moms what they should bear in mind, what might be risky for them. And sometimes we don't think that this is really very harmful, and then it turns to be really critical for the fetus, for the further development of the child. So in this respect, our collaboration might be really very productive, since we, as an NGO, have signed with our American counterparts, Healthy Mother, Healthy Babies Coalition, a memorandum of understanding to develop a program that will be the Russian version of the program Text for Baby, that will keep moms and pregnant women about healthy lifestyle. And hopefully this will be really a good asset to the work of the medical professionals, so that we really be able to change indicators related to maternal and child health, and we will be able to improve through knowledge the behavior, and therefore contribute to the really important work of medical professionals that is at this particular stages. I consider that is really critical and crucial.
And I think there's a very nice coming together of several things that have been going on with the Text for Baby work and with the Russian version of it. The Academy of Pediatrics has a very thorough set of guidelines for preventive care called Bright Futures, which is the standard for delivery of preventive care for children and youth and adolescents and young adults. And in fact, within our healthcare reform, it's been actually put into the legislation that this is the standard that everyone should get when it comes to prevention. And that includes a lot of the messages that are being used in Text for Baby to help new families with the health education part of healthy behaviors around the newborn period. And soon there'll be work there around the early childhood and school age as well. And it fits together quite well with work that we've been doing in some of the Russian neonatology societies in helping address how do guidelines that have been used in the U.S. or in other countries work in the system and in the culture that's present in Russia. And so as Russian neonatal care becomes regionalized and addresses what is our quality standard and what are our guidelines going to be, you know, we see a great opportunity to take what's been learned about how the messages have worked in Text for Baby and how to adapt the messages so that they fit, again, within the language and culture of the Russian Text for Baby. And I think even though we're only a few months ahead, I think each part of that implementation is a learning process and helps us perfect the next month's messages, and the experience of being part of a coalition of many health groups that have come together to make sure that the Text for Baby content really does reinforce what the doctors and nurses are doing in the clinical setting is really a critical part of that, because you don't want the messages to be completely disconnected from what they heard at the hospital and what they hear when they bring the baby in for checkups and for shots and what.
John and Lena, healthy lifestyle promotion is a terribly important topic, and it sounds like there's a lot of potential for collaboration. So thank you for sharing your thoughts with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Interested listeners can find other podcasts on U.S.-Russia health collaboration on our website at www.smartglobalhealth.org.